Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. I just praise you, Father, for the victory, because we do have the victory. We thank you, Lord, for taking care of our enemies, all of our enemies. Because when we come to you and we ask you, Lord, the things that we need done, we know that you fulfill every request that we have, because we always put the word in there with it. And when we confess the word, Lord of God, it is taken care of. And we thank you for it, Father. We ask, Father, that tonight, that everything that we've prayed for has already been in progress. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord. Tonight's not going to be any different. When we pray, we've got an open heaven. And we know that when we do pray, that you hear our prayers. And I thank you, Lord, that everybody that does a prayer has the faith to pray that prayer and to believe in that prayer and to endure until it becomes fact. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome time, because you're going to lead us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all the wonderful people that are involved in this UBM outreach. They're wonderful brothers and sisters, Lord, and we love them. And I thank you, Father, for blessing each and every one of them for the things that they're doing for the kingdom. And we praise you, we glorify you for all that's accomplished tonight, in Jesus' name. And Lord, let the ones that come in be blessed by the things that are talked about and things that are prayed about, all the things that we discuss in this outreach, Father. And I praise you and I glorify you for each and every brother and sister that comes in tonight, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Amen and amen. Okay. Has anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Matt, go ahead.
So, I was supposed to go in tomorrow to the, basically for a personal interview with the judge and the defendant and the prosecuting parties for the jury duty to see if they wanted me as a juror or not. And, I get a call today on my last break at work, and they said, you don't have to come in tomorrow, but we do want you to come in on June 19th, which is the start of the court, of the trial. So, I just want to pray that if there's this any chance that they might have overselected, that I would be released from this jury duty. So,
okay.
Lord, I just pray that that they would bring too many people in, Lord, and they would just tell me to go home, Lord, that I don't have to be there for that whole trial, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We believe with Matt, Lord, that you've already done it, that he, when he gets up right there, tell him to go home and don't worry about it, and he will not be picked again, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for taking his name out of the pot, so to speak, and we praise you, Father, that all of us, not all of our names have been taken out of the pot to go to court and be on a jury, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? It's done, Matt. You don't have to go. They'll call you. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Morgan. Or Geneva. Might be Morgan. I don't know.
Yeah, usually it's both. But so I actually have a testimony about jury duty. I think it was last year, around Christmas, they had sent a letter to Morgan, you know, that he was going to have jury duty. And we said a prayer and we were like, Lord, make it to where he does not have to go in the name of Jesus. And they sent out something else. I don't know if it was a letter. I can't remember. Or it was like a text message you were supposed to like text to or something. And it said, any numbers from like 200 to 260 have to report. Anything beyond that, you're dismissed. And Morgan was 262. So
that's
that
awesome.
Was the Lord. So praise the Lord, and I believe that for you too, Matt.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. How do they do the thing here? Is it voter registration? That's why they do it. Used to do it in Arkansas, just voter registration. That's where they pick the jury duty from.
Well, that's how they do it in Washington State, but I guess down here they do it by the driver's license.
Driver's license, yeah, okay. Okay. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Claire. I don't know why we can't hear you. Virginia can hear you. There you go.
Yay. Okay.
Yeah.
I have a praise report.
Awesome.
Yeah, my mom texted me last night, and they can't find anything. They didn't even give her a report. They just were like, "Oh, okay, well, just wait until next week." Where I think if it was, you know, anything worse, then obviously they would have said. So I was so grateful, and she didn't seem to be that grateful for that outcome, and so I just, you know, pray that she'll understand the grace that the Lord has blessed her with. And I am so grateful that the Lord heard my prayers and our prayers as a body.
Lord, hallelujah.
And she is protected and healed, and he continues to work in her life. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we do. We praise you because we know it's a miracle. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. That's a good testimony. Anybody else? Yeah, Marilyn.
Okay. I got a testimony. A couple of nights ago, I was in the bathroom, and I saw this hornet, wasp kind of thing. They look kind of like yellow jackets, and they're just very aggressive. And if they sting you, it really hurts. And so I grabbed a wad of toilet paper, and I thought, well, I'm just going to smash this thing to the glass in the and get rid of it. So anyway, it was really flying around kind of fast. So I did get it, but in the very end of it, it stung me in the finger. And so anyway, I've been stung by these guys before, not in a long time, but they can cause a lot of swelling and pain. So anyway, I went downstairs and asked my beloved to pray for me, and he prayed and just told all that venom to be neutralized. And within a minute, all the pain was gone, and it didn't swell up. It didn't look like I'd even been stung. So anyway, I want to praise the Lord for that. I'm thankful.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I know about them hornets. They can be pretty tough. And they hurt when they sting you. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. We're impervious to even hornets. They put the enemy to flight, not us. Amen. All right. Anyone else? I want to tell you a little bit about last night at the meeting we had. Lord told David that we need to pray in unison, and we would get the victory. And we did. We prayed in unison. We all got up out of our chair. We got around in a circle, not in rows like we normally do. We got in a circle. And we just started praying and praising God, praying and praising God. And it was awesome. It was awesome. And the Lord had a word. I don't remember what it was, but it was a good word. You remember what the word was, Matt? Is Debbie in here? No, she's not in here yet.
Well, you talking to one from Debbie?
Yeah.
She put it on the blog.
Oh, she did?
I believe so.
Okay. I'll see if I can find it, but it was awesome. The Lord was pleased. Best I could tell.
Oh, yeah. It was to abandon ourselves.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Abandon yourselves to the Lord. In other words, surrender everything to the Lord. Give it all to Him. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. But it was awesome. We did it for a solid hour and a half, I guess. Yeah, it was great. We prayed for a lot of things. People had things that they wanted to pray about individually, and everybody agreed. We were in unison. We were in one accord. I'm surprised. It may have. I don't know. I was just too deep in the spirit to understand. You know, I'm surprised that Matt's house didn't just shake because of all the coming together. Yeah, he wants to take us deep into the Holy of Holies. That's right, David. I remember now that part. Glory to God. So it's really incumbent upon all of us to get with your spouse when you pray. Well, that's powerful when you do that and pray in unison. Or get with other people as well and pray in unison and watch what God does. Anybody else got anything they want to comment about on their prayer life? I wanted to talk about that tonight too, about prayer and what it takes to be in right relationship with the Lord while you're praying. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request or testimony or testimony of your prayer life? He wants to take us deep into the Holy of Holies. Yeah. Go ahead, Samuel. Tiana.
I just, what came to mind is generally I get led by the Spirit to pray for something I have faith, like strong faith in for someone else, like for the body, for my wife. But then I have a bit of, not 100%. For some things, but then Tiana will come and pray for that. Or we put, I see on the outreach, same sort of thing. We cover each other's bases. We got each other's back. Yeah. And it's just, you feel it, and you feel it so straight away, instantly. Sometimes it's just like power, so powerful. So when you got something, and we got this encouraging from, like, you pray for something, you pray for the others, pray with boldness. But don't be sad or whatever about something you might need faith for or prayer for, because someone out there is already praying for it. Just have faith. Everyone's got each other's back. I felt that's the one you, Michael said all that. Man, praise the Lord. Like arms linked together. We are one accord. We are unbreakable chain. We are the full body of Christ. Praise Him. His power is full on, man. Nothing can stop Him. Praise the Lord.
Amen. That's true. Nothing can stop the Lord. The Lord has got our back. Glory to God. Yeah, Geneva.
I don't want to switch the subject or anything because this is good and something I need to hear, actually. But I do want, I talked to Julie about it earlier. I do want prayer. Just direction from the Lord about where me and Morgan need to live, because we don't know if we should rent a house or if we should buy a house, because it all looks pretty terrible right now, like price-wise, everything. But I know the Lord's bigger than that, and I know He can find us something. But Satan's really been trying to mess with me and just trying to make me feel impatient or, you know, not content. And and I cast that down in the name of Jesus, but I just want prayer from the body that, you know, the Lord really just give Morgan direction and show him what to do. So that way we know exactly what we need to do, because, You know, I think Morgan wants to plant roots here, but, you know, it's just all up to the Lord. And, you know, Michael, he's saying abandon yourselves. And, I feel like I am kind of in a season of that, you know, cause for a while it kind of felt like somewhat basic needs. We were kind of having a rough time with, like, the car and living with somebody, not having our own place. So I really did feel, I feel like the Lord's really been, working with me a lot on that, just surrendering it all to him, you know, stuff that we typically have. And, you know, praise God, Morgan drove that Kia all week last week to work, and all by faith. And so I just thank the Lord for that. But I just want prayer about the whole house thing. I know he's done it for me once before. When we were in Florida, we all prayed that, and he blessed us with a great house. So I know he can do it again. You know, it's just the not having a time frame or not knowing, you know, exactly what to do. I just want direction.
Okay. Well, Father God, you know where they're going to end up. And if this is not where they're to end up, Lord, I ask that you place it in Morgan's heart to rent a place. And I praise you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that if this is what you want them to do, a place will open up this week. In Jesus' name, and I thank you for it, Father. We declare and decree that they will have a house this week if this is what you want them to do, is to rent, Lord. And I thank you for it, and it'll be a nice, fine place for them and cheap enough for them to afford with all the stuff that goes with it. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. It will be a testimony to Morgan that this is what you want. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Y'all believe that? Our God is that good, isn't he? Our God mm-hmm. is that good. He knew that we were going to pray this before we ever prayed it.
Yes, he did. Thank you, Father.
And I know that that's what's going to happen. So, glory be to God. Okay, Claire.
I have a testimony about the very thing that our sweet sister Geneva and Morgan are going through. And I think I might have shared it before, but I don't know that she's heard it. So I'll share it again. When we were very young and got married, Geneva, you do everything that the world does, don't you? You don't really know better. So we were renting a place, but I really wanted a nice home that we owned, because this is what all our friends were doing and this is what our parents had done. And so it all just seemed fun. And Rian was just not keen at all in getting into debt. And, yeah, like he had wisdom there from the Lord, I think. And I remember once, it was a Sunday night, and we'd listened to a teaching of David, unrelated to this kind of stuff. This is like before we've got kids or anything. And I had a little tantrum, like a petulant child. I banged my fist on my lap and I just said, why can't I have a house? I really want a house. And I opened the Bible and I put my finger down and I should have been cast down into hell, but God is gracious, because I got, no man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one or love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and mammon. And that did it for me. I was undone. And I said, thank you, Jesus. And I've not ever since that day had any anxiety or stress or worried about where we live. We've never owned a house. The Lord has always provided a house. He's always shown us in scripture how much we're going to pay. He has given us abundantly. We would not have been able to do what we did, you know, to get the houses we've lived in if it was not for God. We've even stayed for free in really nice homes. So I say all of that because that is how good our Father is. And if he did it for me, he can do it for you. And I pray that you would trust him and seek him and just, yeah, I rebuke that anxiety and impatience off of you, my sister, because I know that he has got greater plans than what you could ever imagine. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Claire, so much for saying that. I really appreciate that. And it's funny because Morgan is not too keen on buying either. He just wants to, I don't know, but I know like the Lord has blessed him with patience and a contentness that I've never seen or known. So that's why he's my husband. So thank you, Lord, for that. And, you know, I just appreciate that. Thank you. I love you guys.
Amen. Okay. All right. Who's next? We've done that here with people. They'd be waiting, and then we'll you know, everybody get together and pray that they get a house. Lord, next thing you know, they're in a house. And it doesn't seem like there's anything available. That's around here, rental houses are few and far between. This little community is growing, and people are come flocking in here. But a house will open up, and there somebody will see it and say, oh, need to call. Yeah, go ahead, Matt.
I was just going to share the testimony how we got this house. We were living in a little...
small home.
Really small home. Mobile home. And the owners, yeah, they were really nice people, but they were selling the place. And they finally found someone to buy it. And so we're like, okay, Lord, where are you going to put us? You know, we need a place to stay. And thankfully at that time, Anna's parents were down here. And we moved into them when they signed the place over to the new owners. And at some point, Anna got a word because she was asking the Lord, like, Lord, you said that, you know, everything that we ask, we shall be given. And she landed somewhere where it would said, you know, some space of time of 6 months in the word. I don't remember, you remember where exactly it was?
No, it was 7 months, but it was some random story about 7 months.
Okay. And, so I got home from work. She told me about that. I was like, okay, I just kind of disregarded it, you know, like, oh, great, we're going to be here for a while. So I didn't want to be living there with my in-laws. And about six and a half months later, one of the people here in the fellowship called Anna and told her about this place that is coming up for rent. And we're like, okay. So she goes and inquires about it. And the owners wanted, what was it, $1,200 a month for it. And, you know, Anna asked me, can we afford that? And at that time, I was making a lot less. And I was like, the most we could do is, you know, $1,000 a month. And we heard that they would be flexible through the right people. But, of course, we applied for the place to begin with. And, of course, we got rejected right away because neither one of us has ever had a credit card. And, you know, everything's based on a credit score, you know, these days. But then, you know, we asked them because they were going to approve us anyways. You know, can we do $1,000 a month instead of $1,200? And the lady's like, well, let me ask the owners. And she came back to us and said, they'd be willing to do $1,100 a month for you. And I thought about it for a while, and I was like, no, we just can't do that. It's just not the Lord's timing for this. And so we told them, hey, thank you. You know, it's just a little still much for us. And not even a week later, the lady calls us back and says, the owners were praying about it and decided to let you guys have it for $1,000 a month. It's like, praise God. Thank you, Lord. And we were in here in that time frame that Anna got out of the Bible. That was pretty awesome.
Amen. That was really awesome. God is so good. He can work through anybody, Katie. All right, go ahead, David or Elena. Mr. or Mrs. Timothy.
It's me. Can you guys hear me good?
Yeah, we can hear you.
So we're sharing our whole testimonies of how we got, like, basically how the Lord moved us around. And I could tell you the Lord moved us around a lot in this past few years. But interesting enough, I just got to thinking about it in scripture about moving. I remember that whenever we just moved to Memphis, I asked the Lord, I was like, Lord, how long do we have to stay here till we move up there to them all? And I opened the Bible, and my finger lays down on the part where it said, after 2 years, Peter was sent off to a different place. And I was like, okay. So at first I thought, okay, 2 years we live in Memphis, and then we move on. And then out of nowhere, Lord moves us shortly after a year back to Missouri. To Missouri, we're supposed to be moving on, not back. But just now I thought back to it, and when we moved here to the locals, it was exactly almost 2 years since we joined UBM. And I was like, what? that was pretty interesting. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. And we are blessed to have y'all here, too. Thank you, Jesus. All right, Lana.
Hey, everybody. I guess I'm going to join in the local crowd and share what's expecting those of you that might be heading this way in the future. But I think some of you had heard that when Fio and I got the word from the Lord to come to Madisonville, Fio became impressed that we need to leave everything behind, or that is, get rid of everything and come very lightly packed or lightly loaded, however you put that. And by the grace of God, we got the word late August, I think it was a week after he got laid off from his previous company. And we spent 2 weeks, a week preparing and 2 weeks selling everything we had. And we came to Madisonville at the end of September with just a small trailer that was about half full. We had sold, gave away everything we could. And we arrived at Matt and Anna's. And we arrived Sunday night, and by Wednesday night, we had a house. We had been notified that there was a house available, and we came here with nothing lined up. No houses. Fio attempted to look at one house and that fell through. And we couldn't find anything. And this was a house that became available that Anna had reached out to their landlord and said, hey, I have friends in town. If you have something coming up, let us know. And, you know, within days of Anna letting her know, she immediately contacted Anna and said, there's a house that will be vacated by the end of September. And that was, you know, a week away or something like that. So talk about coming in with absolutely nothing. But when you are walking in the will of the Lord, by the grace of God, you will sell everything you have. You will move by blind faith, and the Lord will provide perfectly. This house was this house is great. It was great. It was such a treat to move into something newer like this, you know. And since then, the Lord has showed us a lot of favor through the owner, who has been making improvements around here and promising even more improvements. I guess up until this point, he hasn't been very keen on upkeep, but the Lord's, I guess, impressed him with that. So we have been very blessed, and it's only by his grace that we have been able to be so obedient. And I know somebody else has mentioned to me in the past, they're like, there's nothing on the market except, you know, rundown trailers. And I told them, we couldn't find anything either until the Lord gives it to you. So praise the Lord. He's good.
Amen. You don't have to have it until you need it, right?
Thank you, Lord.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Thank you, Father. Yeah, Ben, go ahead, brother.
I got a bit of a testimony. I was at my grandmother's place this Sunday because, you know, Mother's Day. And my, like, everyone was there, my mom, my stepfather, my sister, and my brother-in-law. And my brother-in-law asked me a question. He said, are you still going to church? And I'm like, I haven't been going to a church. And then it kind of, like, that's where the conversation kind of stopped. And then I texted him. I was thinking about what I said. And I said, well, in my heart, it didn't feel right the way I left it. And so I texted him the day after. And I said, I just want to let you know, just because I'm not going to, like, a building that says church, it doesn't mean that I don't believe in God. Yeah. Yeah. And I told them about you guys, and I told them that I've been doing a fellowship prayer group on Tuesdays and Thursdays and all that. And I just asked, like, do you still believe in God? Because he has, his family kind of has a history of it. And he said that, here, I'll reread it here. He said, I used to be a pretty crazy Christian, as you know. And I said, I do remember you talking about it a lot. And that I said, why did you stop going? And he said, it was the people that were in the church. They were very, I don't know if you guys know what the term gaslighting is. Very much like you have to, like, please, like, volunteer more and more and more. And they wanted him to volunteer a lot. And it was very, like, obviously very tiring. And I can understand, because I went to the same, I don't know if you guys have heard of Hillsong, that denomination, that they were associated with that. They were associated with that denomination. And so I kind of know how their system is ran. So I guess I understood what he was talking about. And then he's like, it's just their culture. Like, they weren't, I told them they weren't very Christ-like. And that's not the kingdom culture, is what his church was called, the kingdom culture. It wasn't very kingdom culture-y. And we started talking about, like, he was just saying, what was he saying? Like, me and my brother have always been kind of like outcasts. Him and his brother, he has a twin brother named Connor. And he says, my brother and I have always been outcasts, like, to other people. And then he hasn't replied to me yet, but I just said, well, it does say in the book that the road is narrow to the kingdom of God, and we're never going to be in the majority. So it's not a bad thing, technically. And he hasn't replied yet, but I really want this, what I have with my brother-in-law, to keep going, because I'm seeing an angle. I'm seeing an angle that I've been looking for, and I'm seeing him on Friday. We're going to go catfishing. So hopefully something can manifest there. And then I'm seeing him again on Sunday with Dad, actually. I don't know. Yeah, she told you. So I'm gonna be seeing him pretty much all weekend, so I'm a little excited to see what happens with that. I'm waiting to see what the Lord brings in front of me.
Do you have a Sovereign God book you might be able to discuss with him?
I don't have one printed out or anything, but I'll bring the good book.
There you go. That works just as good, if not better. Yeah. Amen. Okay, Missy, go ahead.
Well, Ben, you talking about him saying about how they wanted him to volunteer more and more and, you know, all that stuff. And it made me think of, because I was looking at this, the Lord brought this to my mind earlier today, because I was thinking about the garden. And this scripture came to my mind Song of Solomon 1:6, and the last part of it says, my mother's sons were incensed against me. They made me keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. So they're all about works, you know, and you don't even take care of your own personal relationship with the Lord.
Yeah, you're not bearing your own fruit.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Thank you.
Amen. All right, anyone else? All right, let's see if Debbie's going to. Debbie, are you ready to give us that word that the Lord gave us last night?
Sure, I said.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, so. Okay.
Wasn't this after we sang, what's the name of that song?
Take Me In.
Yeah, Take Me In.
Yeah, during that song, I just, I'll just kind of try to say what I put on the blog. I just really felt the awesomeness of the Holy of Holies. I felt the awesomeness of being in this place with God continually. And just like that's, and then feeling like this is where he wants us, you know. And it was just, I was just so overcome by it. So it was in a worship of that song, Take Me In. And then I had a vision of, I saw me standing in the Holy of Holies. It was all golden light, just light. And I was just in awe of it. And then I was able to look beyond that light, and I saw a tunnel, and it started stretching further and deeper away, further and further away. It was dark. It was a dark tunnel behind this light in the Holy of Holies. And as I was thinking on that, then that's when the Lord started speaking to me. I just began him hearing say these things to me. So, and this is what he said. My people, I have taken you into my Holy of Holies. But the question is, will you stay or will you leave? There is a requirement. Give your all to me, my people. Yes, I have drawn you, made you mine, and I have taken you into my Holy of Holies. But there is more. I long to take you deeper. You must go deeper, deeper into me. So many of my people fear going deeper in me. They fear my requirement, but this is what you must do. You must have a willingness to abandon all, to stay in my Holy of Holies, to go deeper with me. You must cast down fear of abandoning all for me. But as I see your heart desiring to do so, as I have told you, I will help you. Begin your walk into what appears dark and uncertain to you. I will help you as I draw you closer and closer, more and more into me. I will not force you. I will not be harsh with you or try to crush you into going deeper into me. But my people, as you go deeper and deeper, you are not alone. And all that was to you a fearful, dark, and uncertain path will quickly become light and joy and freedom as you enter into that total abandonment of all that holds you back from a fullness of relationship with me. My people, begin now. begin now being willing to abandon all for my sake. There is so much you have not yet entered into with me. Let me take you in deeper still. Thank you, Lord. That was it. I was just really overcome by that. I still am as I read it. I was just shaken, you know, to even to tears. I was so overcome because it's always been something I've been, in a way when I heard, I didn't mention that in my thoughts, when I was meditating on this, when I was feeling the awesomeness, he said to me, abandon all. I heard abandon all. And I was like, I had that struck with that fearful feeling again of apprehension and that I've, known before. But I've always wanted to overcome that. And I do want to overcome that. I want to be able to let go of things and to not be thinking that people are going to think I'm weird and I'm, think I'm better than they are, and just, you know, worrying about what people are going to think of you and your family's going to think. And not that we block them out of our lives forever, but there's a limit that God wants us to have. And, things so that we're not hindered in our walk with the Lord in family and so many things. And I'm asking God to really help me. I know He's going to help me to do that. And I pray for us all that we can enter into that.
Amen.
We meet the Lord in that call to abandon all. Well, thank you, Lord.
I like what he said about that. You know, one thing we have to remember, we're not trying to impress men.
Right.
It's God that we want to impress.
Amen.
And glory to God, whatever it takes, you know. If that's what it takes, that's what we need to do. I'm talking to myself, too. I need to quit doing, being distracted and press in, press in, press in, press in to the Lord. When you press in, press in, press in, guess what happened? Revelations from the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Of His love towards you. He's our Father. We should just jump up in His lap and just hug Him and go on with Him. But He's right. Yes. We're scared sometimes to get let go of things. Scared of what it is, you know, to let Him have it all. Just forget about it. Surrender everything to Him. Surrender the flesh. Surrender everything to Him. I'm willing to do that with help. Y'all understand what that means? The grace of God. I need the grace of God to do that. And I just thank you, Father, for all of those that want to go deeper in and to the Holy of Holies and jump up in His lap and feel comfortable doing it. Then receive this in the name of Jesus, Lord. I thank you for placing it in each one of us to draw nigh unto you in a mighty way, to forget everything else that we've learned over this lifetime that we've lived in distractions and the world and the flesh. Father, show us, grab us by the hand and pull us into you, Lord, because that's what we want. And I thank you, Father, for doing that in Jesus' mighty name. Yes. Glory to God. Glory to God. Anybody else want to pray? I thank you, Father, for your placing it in us, the willingness to give everything. Nothing else matters but you, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Placing it in our heart. Move out self, Lord. Move out flesh, Lord. Move out world, Lord. And replace it with nothing but you, Father. And I thank you for doing it for each one of you. In the name of Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. Yeah, David, go ahead, brother.
Something the Lord taught me this past couple months. I mean, it's crazy how I thought in the past that, man, I just got to make it to that local UBM and I'll be okay. Don't have that mindset. Because man, the trials. It's, I mean, now I see why it took a while for the Lord to move us, because if, man, these trials came up back then, I don't know. But one thing the Lord taught me was silence. Holding your tongue, not speaking to people that aren't spirit led, because what Jesus did whenever he was getting persecuted, he stayed silent because he was teaching us that if he would have spoke out, they would have more to persecute him for. And the same with us, the more we try to speak and defend ourselves, the harder we get persecuted because we give them what they want. And I mean, lately the Lord showed me, he kept me silent to a lot of things, and he taught me patience, to be patient and wait for the door to open. Don't try to force it open myself, because there was a lot of times I tried to force the door open because I was like, man, you guys need to hear this. You guys need to hear this, especially to my family members. But that led to nothing because I forced that door open and I didn't have enough to back it all up. And that actually causes more damage, because how do you go back to those people and try to be like, yeah, what I said earlier was wrong, but, and then how do you explain to them what was true? And, the Lord taught me to just be patient. And like lately with my parents, I didn't talk to them spiritual talks because I knew where they led from the past. And, I just stayed silent. And if they had tried to bring up a debate, the Lord taught me to ask them, find that, tell me where that is in the scripture. And 90% of the time they couldn't back themselves up with the scripture. And patience is a powerful thing. The harder we get persecuted, the more patiently we need to take it, and in silence. Because that's how you win those battles, is don't give them a weapon. So Lord, I pray that every single one of us, Lord, takes the example how you showed when you went through the persecutions, Lord, with patience, with love, with silence. Lord, because man's tongue is destructive, Father. And that's been proven time and time again. But your word is true. Your word is the sword that breaks through anything. And Lord, help us talk to others in scripture. Whatever debate comes up, back it up with the word. That way they can't go against the word. Because Lord, you showed me that with my family. Every time I quoted scripture, they couldn't say anything because they knew the scripture is the scripture. So Lord, give us wisdom. Give us wisdom to anyone we meet on the streets, any family members we gather with. Lord, let your spirit be our guidance. And Lord, whatever comes to pass, Lord, it's all glory to you. It all comes back to you, Lord. Because when we were still in our mother's womb, you've chosen us, Lord. And that was a long time ago. I thank you, Lord, for the trials that you put out for us to perfect us. That way in the end we come out clean, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that we could stand with you in the Holy of Holies and walk right beside with you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, David. Good testimony. Just keep your mouth shut unless you know the scriptures. And that's just an Arkansas way of saying it. You need to be a little more grace, have a little more grace than that. Anyway, anybody else got a testimony or something they'd like to comment on? Well, I'm excited. I'm excited because God, some, if not all of you, are going to do this. You're going to go in, like get into the Holy of Holies and allow God to do your talking and your walking for you. Yeah, Debbie.
I was just praying. I was only praying, saying thank you, Lord. Okay, but that's true. I do want to say that, what a breakthrough. What a breakthrough that will be. And I receive that for myself. I feel it. I just receive my faith. I receive a breakthrough. And, you know, the devil's going to try to hinder us, but we have to keep on going. So thank you, Jesus.
We came together last night, didn't we, Debbie?
Yes.
Lord of God. It was awesome. Thank you, Father. I guess the enemy is in trouble. How many of you know the enemy's in trouble? Yes, he is in trouble, Lord of God. Thank you, Father. And we have the victory because we have the one that gives us the victory behind us, in front of us, on the left of us, on the right of us, and over and under us. In Jesus' name. Wasn't y'all remember that Marine sergeant? I mean, that Marine major back in World War I that said, calling in to headquarters, he said, the enemy's in front of us. The enemy's behind us. The enemy's to the left and it's to the right. They can't get away from us now, Lord of God. And that's the way I feel. We have the victory, Lord of God. We have the victory. Praise God forevermore. Oh, yeah, that's great. Get me one. It's hard for me to do that. Yeah, please. Oh, my. Thank you, Jesus. I tell you what, the Lord is working tonight. I feel the Lord working in this fellowship tonight. Go ahead, Patrick.
Michael, did you hear the... years in church, I heard this testimony one time of a soldier in the Korean War, maybe World War II or something like that. Maybe it was World War II. And he was a Christian, shall we say? And he was in a battle. And they were losing, seriously losing bad. A lot of their, their comrades or whatever were killed. And he prayed and asked the Lord to give him the victory. And I might be really damaging this story, but from the best of my recollection, this is what it is. And the battle went south. I mean, it got worse and worse until they got to the point where him and his partner were the only ones left. And they finally had to surrender. And when they, held up their arms and were taken by the, the enemy. And they were walking back to the camp, the enemy's camp. And they started singing praises to the Lord. And this one of the enemy, who happened to speak English, said, "Listen, we know that the Americans are going to win this war. And we know that it's going to be soon. And so we would like to surrender."
You're kidding.
I am not kidding. "And so we would like to, we would like to surrender and go back to your camp."
Really? I've never heard that. That's awesome.
And so this guy and the other guy, they threw down their guns and gave him and his partner their guns, and they walked them back to, and believe it or not, they walked back through enemy lines back to the American side, and they surrendered. And they picture this group, I'm going to say 40 or 50 soldiers, walking into this group, and the other two with guns behind them, and they all turned themselves in and surrendered.
Oh,
wow. It was amazing at that time, but
golly.
That's awesome. I wish I could go back and find out where that testimony was at, but it just struck me at the time, just blew me away.
Yeah, I've never heard that. That's awesome.
There was Debbie came up with that that testimony or that vision word from the Lord. I know the Lord has been working with me for maybe forever, who knows, about this concept of entering into Him wholly, the secret place of the Most High. And one of these days, He's going to put the package completely together, and I know He's going to give it to me to the point where I'm going to be able to explain it with clarity instead of the typical rambling on. But there is one thing, I'm not going to attempt it tonight or whatever, but there's one thing, an example that He gave me. When I was a while back, when I was asking Him, no, years back, when I was asking Him about this place, this secret place in the Most High with Him. And it took me back to Genesis, basically, but which I'm not going to go there right now, but He gave me an example, a picture of us, meaning us as mankind or people. He gave me the picture of a computer. And that is the picture, how we are made up, spirit, soul, and body. And I know I said this a lot before and probably bore people with it, but there's such a, it's like being able to point the arrow at the target and hit the target, know what we're shooting at or know what I'm shooting at type of thing. It's kind of that concept. But He showed me the example of the computer, in that the computer, if you just take this laptop or this computer you have in front of you, it's a piece of electronic gear. And it's, for the most part, useless. unless it has an operating system. And that operating system, the computer itself with its mechanical ability to plug in printers and speakers and this and that, it is a picture of the body, a body. But that body is quite frankly useless until it has an operating system. And obviously the operating system is able to program has programs and operations in it that allow that those mechanics and that electronics to control the screen and give you a picture and control the printer mechanics and everything to print out a page, etc. And that operating system is kind of equates is a picture of the soul. And if you go back in Genesis and read through Genesis 1 and 26, 27, 28, when he created man, and then the second chapter where he formed man, you kind of get a picture of what he's talking about, or what I'm alluding to here. But the computer, even in that state, the computer and that operating system are relatively useless until, I mean, they do not function on their own. They're relatively useless or dead until somebody sits down and inputs something and by their volition enters a command or to do something with that computer. And that person sitting in front of that computer equates to our spirit. And I know this kind of greatly clarified the scriptures, like Galatians 2:20, being dead, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And it kind of clarified for me the I portion of that being my spirit in command of my operating system, commanding this body to do certain things. And to me, it was a bit of clarity to see when I'm seeing myself as dead to my carnal life or whatever, that carnal life, or that operating system, being dead to that operating system, separated but alive unto God. And I guess it was the point where it became clear to me is the part of me that is surrendering is my spirit surrendering to the Spirit of God within me, yielding myself and allowing myself to become dead to that operating system, just as though it was a dead weight sitting there, and allowing God's Spirit to motivate, empower, give direction to that operating system to accomplish his work. And when Debbie said that the Lord said to abandon ourselves, that's what it reminded me of there, was in our spirit abandoning the, I'm not going to say abandoning the control, but abandoning the permission, giving God the permission to rule, to be the one motivating, be the one empowering, giving direction to that soul. How that's done, I couldn't tell you, but I believe that the Lord is leading us to that place of surrender. You know, a lot of the old writers come up with different terminology. The Wesleys came up with second touch or entire sanctification or perfection or however you want to put it. But it is that, I believe, that place of total, and I think Andrew Murray wrote about this, total surrender, that surrender of our spirit and giving him the place, the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the place to rule in our spirit and motivate this computer program or energize this computer program in order to accomplish his works. And I know that, you know, just listening to me talk right now probably sounds very bland and matter of fact or whatever. But I know that the Spirit of God, when he anoints us, it is going to be at that level of the spirit surrender. At least that's what I'm seeing so far. But anyway, I just wanted to share that.
Thank you, Patrick. Yeah, that was Absolute Surrender by Murray. That's a good book. Amen. All right. Anyone else want to talk about surrendering to the Lord? All right. Y'all ready for a song? Good song. Okay. Go ahead, Julie. Wait a minute. I got to give you permission. Okay. You may begin. There you go.
Let me hear the worshipers. Where's all of my praises? Your hands together, because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Every praise
is to
our God.
Every word of worship,
with one accord.
Every praise,
every praise
is to our God.
Every praise
is to our God. Y'all know how we do it. Take it up.
Every praise
is to our God.
Every word of worship
with one accord. Come on, say
every praise
is to our God.
Every praise
is to our God.
praise, every one of them. Glory to God. That was an awesome, awesome song. That's one of my favorites of all time. Woohoo! Somebody else mentioned this, but I love to watch the people out there on the streets joining in as well. That's awesome. Glory to God. Every praise. Okay. Praise God. Yeah, that was Isaac. Yeah, it was Isaac. That was awesome. Hey, Henrietta. Here's my old buddy George. Good to see you with us, brother. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. How's it going up there in Maine? Y'all gotten any warm weather up there yet?
Yeah, we just quit burning wood, so we're doing pretty good.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That's good. Thank you, Lord. All right. Yes, Ann Ryder, go ahead.
I want to give a testimony, sort of, and to give thanks. So, everyone was talking about moving, and then our container arrived. So we've been giving away a lot of stuff because stuff just isn't selling. You know, people are doing it tough. But, and I'm not saying this to brag, for the first time in my life, I'm having to really count pennies and stretch coins. Yeah. So I'm not bragging about it. It's a new experience for me. And it's been so amazing seeing how God has provided. Like, just when we need, like, we get the exact amount. Like, we need this much by tomorrow. And then we'll sell something that wasn't selling for the exact amount that we need. Like, hallelujah. Praise God. It's so faith building. And listening to people's testimonies, you know, it's just been amazing. Like, look at God. You know, just look at our Father in heaven. Look at God. It's so faith building. And yesterday we got some really bad news and I still have to break it. And I started to thank God for it. And I started to remember testimonies that have been shared, you know, and I don't remember, like, Michael, I don't remember what testimony you're talking about, but I remember you saying clearly his answer is yay. You know, it doesn't matter. And, you know, I think Anna's testimony with healing, like, testimonies are so amazing. Because they remind you of the power of God. And we're seeing his hand. And I just want to thank him and praise him and lift his name up on high and give him praise and glory because he is a father that provides. So I wanted to just share that. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Yes, he is an amazing God. He is an amazing father. He's a whole lot better than my natural father. And I thought my natural father was a good father. But God the Father is a lot better because he saved my father. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right, anybody else? Well, I thought we'd talk a little bit about prayer tonight since we're already on the subject. Getting drawing closer to God. Has anybody got any comments on their prayer life and how it is and how you got into it and anything like that? It'd be fine. We can just glean off of everybody's experience. I'll tell you what, I'll start out and that way y'all can just tag along behind me. How's that? I like to start out early in the morning and I just praise God for quite some time. And I do it a lot in the spirit with praise music going on in these particular ones. Cause if David comes and Noah, I can't hear it. That way I can just ignore him and go on and keep praising God. You know? And he just goes away. So that's what. Now, yeah, I'm just kidding. He'll generally just come on in and pick me on the shoulder and say, you know. But that's the way I do it. I always open up with praise and worship and praying in the spirit. I like to pray in the spirit a lot. I really do. And it seems to gear me up for the rest of the day. And when you do that, it seems like to me that you're storing up faith enough to pray for anybody you need to. You always have the right amount at the right time. And you have the right words to say because God's guiding you. And I'll do that for probably an hour or so. And then I'll get in the Word. And when I get in the Word, I'll ask the Lord to reveal things to me. And He does. And, you know, I've started here recently asking the Lord to interpret my tongues, to give me some guidance. And I haven't been real successful, but I have been somewhat. It's a process. I suppose it takes a while to get acclimated to it, but that's what I'm doing. That's the way I did. And God's been merciful with me. He's been real good with me. Patient. He's a whole lot more patient than we are, you know? And He's got a whole lot more grace than we do. And he's a good guy. He's a good guy. But that's primarily the way I do it. And of course, during the day, I pray in the Spirit a lot, just under my breath, and I pray in the Spirit quite a bit. And sometimes out loud in the house, you know, David does too. We both do. So that's kind of what I do. Anybody else got a testimony as to how they pray? Yeah, Vanita.
After we did that 7-day fast on the 8th day, just ever since then, I've just really been led to just spend a lot of time right when I wake up. Like I wake up, I'm like, oh, I got to thank the Lord. And I just start praising and thanking the Lord. In scripture and just thanking Him for just anything I can think of, just for, you know, while I'm laying in bed, just that's the first thing I do. And that was just such a blessing to start my day off that way every day. So that's what came from the 7-day fast for me. But I just being able to pray in the Spirit has just been such a blessing. Just I can't even believe for 15 years I didn't know about that. And I didn't know that, you know, you could just pray anytime, anywhere, you just don't even have to think about it. You're just praying. And it's just such a blessing. And just praying that would just open up to so many people out there. From the church that I came from, I just loved all those people. And they just don't know that. And I just pray that they would come to the understanding that, because it's just so wonderful. And I love driving places. I mean, I'm driving a lot, it seems like, going up to see grandma, going out here or there. And I just love praying when I'm driving. I just can pray just nonstop. And I'm like, take me somewhere, Lord. I don't care. I know I'll be able to pray then. So that's always such a blessing for me. Amen.
Amen. I do too, especially when I take a trip back to Arkansas. That's an 8-hour trip. Most of that spent praising God and praying in the Spirit. But also I wanted to mention that during the day, though, I will, a lot of times I go walking, about a 3.5-mile walk, but during that walk is when I'll pray for people. You know, people on the outreach, people that local, what have you. Most of the time, but a lot of times I do it here in the room too. But that's some more of it. It's kind of an all day affair, isn't it, Benita? Just kind of do it all day long. Yeah, I know some of you do that all day. Thank you, Father. All right, anyone else? We'll pick somebody. There's Tiana. Is that you or Samuel?
That's me, sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
I just wanted to share
I used to, and I still kind of get stuck in like this, just wanting to do what I want through the day. And I try and just get in the word and seek God the way I want to. But the Lord convicted me a while back that what he really wanted me to do was spend time playing with my son for most of the day. And my personal part is when I go and actually do that, I hear the Lord just so clearly, and he speaks to me just so more easily. And it's just so much clearer. And for me, it was because I found out that that was his will for me personally every day, was for me to just be spending all my time with David. And obviously I do tasks, but I bring David with me. And when I'm in his will doing that, I'm so much more closer to him, and I don't even have to do anything in my own strength. Whereas before, I was always letting David play by himself so I could read the word or watch David Eel's teaching. But the Lord really showed me. I hope that blesses him.
Praise God. That's awesome. That little David needs that attention from mama. Go ahead, Patrick.
This is more of a prayer request than a how-to or, you know, my example. But I used to, pray. I'm not going to say pray, but I would, I found it hard in like my type of work. I always used to think that, boy, preachers, you know, and pastors have it so lucky because they don't have to, they don't have to work. They can study and read and pray all day long, but they don't, you know, for the most part, they don't have to get up at, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning and go to work. And now their brain is entangled in all the pressures and problems and issues and everything that come up every day, and trying to solve problems and this and that and dealing with people, et cetera, type of thing. And then you come home at the end of the day and you're wasted, you know. And it's kind of like exhausting. And I remember at one point asking the Lord, you know, that's how can I be in prayer in season and out of season? If I can be in your presence all the time, when I have this thing going all the time, this work. And the Lord gave me, I guess, the ability to perceive everything that I was doing in working, in solving problems, in talking to people, and take it through the sieve of the Lord. I don't know how to put it any other different way, but to be able to receive this input that's coming in and send it through at the same time, send it through the Lord and be talking with him and communicating with him in the process of this whole scenario happening in my life. And it was such a joy because of that. Because I felt like I was everything, the environment, everything that was happening, all my work and everything was all happening in the presence of the Lord. And it's like we were in it together. We were, you know, we were hammering out the details and hammering all this stuff out, and we were together on this type thing. You know, it was just a real sense of, I guess, of his presence. And being able to be in communion and prayer all through the day, no matter what was happening. However, this is a prayer request because I have seemed to have got out of that or lost that or whatever that would be. I don't know if it's a hard heart I don't know. I can't answer that. I guess that's why it's called a prayer request. But anyway, I'm asking the Lord to restore that perspective and that presence, his presence in my life in that way, so that I can approach life and walk through this life in his presence, through his eyes, through his will, etc. I don't know if I'm being clear on this, but that's kind of the prayer request, I guess. So
Lord, we just lift up Pat B and I lift us all up. Father, that you would teach us what you want us to know about our lives. And Lord, this business about wanting to be a preacher and get out of the work life, I know I was telling somebody a while ago, I go from can to camp every day, it seems like, in the work that we have. And the work is to serve the people. And Lord, I ask that you place that in the path, to serve you and to serve the people around him, Lord. And I praise you, Father, that you are doing that by putting the word of God in him, and he's spitting it out to people. I thank you, Father, for giving him boldness and awareness and discernment and wisdom to do the things that you have him to do, even in his work. Because the things that he does even affects the people around him when he's walking in you, Lord. And I thank you for doing that for Patrick and all of us, Lord, that we would be the light that people are looking at. And that light would shine so much, they look at you and they say, there is a glow around you. What is that glow? And you can tell them every true Christian has that glow. And Father, I thank you for doing that for Patrick and all of us in the name of Jesus. And I praise you and I glorify you for all that you're doing in this, Lord. Draw us closer to you so that light would get stronger and stronger and stronger. And I praise you, Father, for that. I thank you, Lord, for making that wonderful son of God and son of a daughter of God that you want us to be. In every respect, Lord, that we walk like Jesus, talk like Jesus, and act like Jesus, and teach like Jesus. And I praise you, Father, for doing that for all of us in Jesus' name. Glory to God, because I know you're going to do it, Father. For those who want it, it's there for us to take. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. And I see Kelly of a coming to get a report of one. My. Yeah, Sam, or TM, or David.
And may I pray?
Okay.
Thank you, Father, for all of us being here together, Lord. And thank you that you are in all of us and you are in everything. And you are closer to us than our own breath and our own existence. And help us to see and know every moment, no matter what's going on, that you're closer to us than anything else. And that you are in all and through everything. And do whatever it takes to let us hear your voice every moment. Do whatever it takes to let us agree with you every moment. And deliver us from all things that are hindering us from constantly communing with you and being in your holy presence. Give us the will and desire to choose the Holy Spirit and to not choose the flesh. Give us a greater will and desire to seek you constantly every moment, and allow us to let you come into our life every single second, no matter what we're doing in this physical, Lord. Allow us to let you come in, Lord, and give us a greater hunger and desire for you to go deeper into you in spirit and truth. Deliver us from everything that's not in agreement with you, Lord. Lord, please do whatever it takes to manifest yourself in us a hundredfold, in our soul, our spirit, our mind and body right here on earth now and forever for your glory, Lord. You are everything and you get all praise and honor, and it's you in all of us and everything is about you, Lord. And open our eyes to see you clearer in everything, Lord. Allow us to see you in everything. Allow us to hear you, Lord, and let us always have eyes to see and ears to hear. Let us always be humble like Jesus. Give us the grace and the gift of humility, and allow us to come out of agreement with all pride and everything that is evil and not of you, and do whatever it takes to let us commune with you every single moment. And thank you for aligning our will with you completely and your word. And thank you for manifesting your word in us all a hundredfold in every part of our existence. And thank you, Jesus, for living in us, and everything is you. Thank you, Lord.
That's what we're doing. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Amen. My. Anybody else got anything I'd like to share? How many of you know that God really wants us to have communion with Him all the time? Why do you think He put us here on this world? Because He loves His people. He loves His people. So much so that He made a way for us to come into the Holy of Holies. Glory to God. And how many times do we neglect to do that? I'm guilty, guilty. But Lord, I'm thanking you that you're going to change things in my life to allow me that privilege. And it is a privilege. But you've opened the way for us to do it. And all we have to do is walk in. And that's the great part about it. And I praise you, Father, to give us that pathway right to your throne through Jesus. You did that. You sent His Son. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my God. I'm on hush. Let somebody else talk. Okay. I've been waiting on Andrew, but I'm going to have to call on him, I guess.
Someone tried to convert me today.
Well, did they succeed?
I hope not. I was mailing something to UVM, and on my way over to the mail, the post office, I noticed a guy coming out of the dollar store. And he was from Islam, and he was carrying some toys, and he was probably maybe 5 years younger than I was. And I said, I held the door open for him because we were going from one end of the mall to another mall. That's a sidewalk mall, and you got a double set of doors to go through. And I said, aren't you kind of old for those toys? And then on the second door that I held open for him, I said, somebody's going to be happy. And I guess he was so enamored with my joy that he started to talk to me, you know. And I can tell where the conversation is leading, but then he started witnessing to me. He said, I should read the Quran, and I have to read it 3 times. From one end to the other, download it on the computer. And before you start reading it, you have to go take a shower. And I'm going, oh, I guess I have to be clean to read his Quran or something, you know. And, So I tried to get my two cents in, but you just don't get to have your two cents said anywhere. And I'm carrying the letter for UVM Ministries. And finally, I just said to him, well, you know, I'm a Christian, and I have a sacrifice, Jesus, you know. And he goes, no, you got to forget about all that stuff, you know. He says, no, you just read this book three times, cover to cover, you know. Okay, yeah. And he wouldn't let me get my two cents in too much. And, you know, and as he was doing it, I was going, here's a person going around evangelizing people, and he's trying to evangelize me because he sees me a happy person, you know. I guess he doesn't see too many happy people, I don't know. And it was interesting. So I chalk it up as one of those experiences in your journey, and you get to see the same spirits in him that other people have, and they're Christian, you know. And like I ran into these people quite a bit where they don't let you get a word in edgewise, you know, like they cut you off right in the middle of your statement. I go, okay, this spirit again. So I don't know what that one's called, but and I just, you know, give glory to God for it, because I kept my composure and I kept calm and just let him speak, you know. And even got a verse quoted, because I quoted a verse from Peter the Apostle where it says, honor all men, love the brethren, fear God, honor the king. And what I wanted to get across to him, you know, is that, you know, I can honor you as another person, a human being, you know, because I told him, you know, I believe in creation. And he was excited about that a little bit. But he wouldn't allow me to speak anything. And of course, there's the other people there on the street watching him do this to me. I just went and then mailed my letter. We separated our ways, and he went one way with his toys in his hand, I guess for his little children. And that was it. That was an experience. And he's very adamant. He's very straightforward. Doesn't want to hear any other word but his. And so you get to see something there. Anyway, we parted on a good note. That's all. And that's what I share. I later on came home and I prayed for the guy, to the Lord, that he would be more open to hear other people, that the Lord would do something with him. And the reason why I came in late is because Megan was, my daughter, talking to me about what we're going to be doing on Sunday anyway. And I know Ben is going fishing, so. And it was news to me what Ben said, so that was a great joy to hear that too. That he actually even got to say two words to his brother-in-law, so praise God for that. And yeah, so there's a lot of weird things going on in the world, you know, and sometimes you got to take the Lord everywhere you go. And you always have to let him have control, you know. And even there was a time there where I didn't even want to listen to this guy anymore. And he just kept walking beside me slowly, you know, you're trying to be polite at the same time listening to him witness to me. And there was even a time me thinking I should be witnessing to him and he's witnessing to me. But I did get some words out there that, you know, and I just wanted him to know that basically I did say I have a sacrifice in my religion. And well, he wouldn't. So that's the main thing I got across to him, and I asked the Lord to emphasize that for him. if he was to think about the conversation anyway. So praise and glory to God for all things. He always has to be on hand wherever you go. Like, especially when you go to work. Like, I feel very free now not having to go to work. Have the guy tell me this and that, that the Bible is just another book written by man, and, you know, and just the various things there that I know they like to poke fun at people, but it gets a little monotonous after 30 years. Anyway, praise God, glory to God.
Amen. I heard one time, I've never read the Quran, never had any desire to read it, but I'd heard one time that if you run across a Muslim that'll listen a little bit, just ask them to read in their Quran about Jesus and then compare it about what it says about Muhammad. Because it talks about Jesus as the Son of God in the Quran. And doesn't speak like that for Muhammad. According to what they told me. Now, I don't know. Like I said, I hadn't read a word of it. Yeah, Debbie, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to share something that the Lord did for me today. Because I've been seeking him too. I have the same prayer to the Lord for myself as you do, Pat. Just showing me how to come into your presence more and just spend that time with you and start my day with you. And sometimes I do, sometimes I don't, but I do throughout the day here and there, but I'm in that special time with him. But anyway, today I had kind of like a lonely day, and I was just laying back on the couch, being a little bit of bummed out, but I was praying for things this morning that were shared for prayer and things going on. And then quiet again. I just felt kind of down. And then the Lord spoke to me and said, thrill me. And right away came this song the Lord gave to me years ago. And I titled it, Thrill Me. Or You Thrill Me, Lord. And it's from Psalms. What chapter is it? Oh, Psalm 92. And it's verses 3 and 4. And I got a song from the scripture years ago. And he wanted me to thrill him. That was so cool. So I thrilled him by singing this song to him. So I'm going to share that. Is that okay?
Absolutely. If you can share it for the Lord, I'm sure we'll be thrilled too. You go
right ahead. All right. Okay. It was just so neat. He said that night. I just started singing it right away. So anyway, Psalm 92, 3 and 4. Okay. You thrill me, Lord. I'm going to start again. You thrill me, Lord. For all you have done for me, you thrill me, Lord. I sing for joy, you thrill me, Lord. Because of what you have done, you thrill me, you thrill me, you thrill me. You thrill me, Lord. With all you have done for me, you thrill me, Lord. I sing for joy, you thrill me, Lord. With all the great works you've done, you thrill me, you thrill me. You thrill me, and I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, my King. Oh, I worship you, Lord, my God, for you are worthy. You are worthy. You thrill me, Lord. With all you have done for me, you thrill me, Lord. I sing for joy, you thrill me, Lord. With all the great works you've done, you thrill me, you thrill me, you thrill me. You thrill me, you thrill me, you thrill me. Amen. That's it.
Amen. That thrilled me too. If it thrilled the Lord, I know it's going to thrill me. Glory to God.
I think it thrilled him.
Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. All right. Ready? Go ahead, brother.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right. This microphone works then. I noticed a pattern. Oh, my God. It took me probably a lifetime to see this pattern of the evil one. Well, yeah, my lifetime, I guess. In school, I was bullied a lot, picked on a lot. I can remember being picked on from kindergarten all the way up to 12th grade. And I didn't notice the pattern, Satan's pattern, until now. And I was at work, and I began to get this embarrassment, this embarrassment that came out of nowhere, like I felt like I was being bullied. And I'm like, you know, and then the Lord showed me. He says, you know, Satan's been doing this to you for a while. And he, you know, you think he's changed his pattern since you've been a kid? He's been bullying you for a while. You don't know. Pay attention, like, Satan's patterns, whatever happened to you, and how were you treated when you were younger? You know, and Satan has a habit of doing that when you get older, but you don't notice it. But it happens in weird ways. Like, it can be at work, you know, and someone who is not in charge tries to, how can I put it? just like this talk behind your back, bully nature, people trying to throw around their weight on you, and you know they don't have that authority, bully nature. I just noticed this type of bullying from the evil one. Like, and it just, first it hit me inside, and I was just like, man, I'm getting tired of, you know. And the Lord began to show me, you know, Satan's bullying. And he was like, he's been doing that to you since you were a child. And I'm thinking, you know, I got out of high school. Thank God I escaped bullies. No, the bully followed me throughout all of my jobs, you know, all of my associations, you know, a lot of my recreations and activities, how I thought about myself, my own self-worth and confidence. And he just, you know, he'll bully you down spiritually, you know, and how you think about your walk in Christ, you know, how you he'll bully you down in what you think about your person and communicating with others. And I'm like, wow, you know, I'm grateful that the Lord, you know, started showing me that. Because it started hurting my feelings in a way, like, you know, and I started getting tired of my job. Suddenly I got tired of my job, and I was like, I don't want to be here. I said, I don't feel like working around a bunch of bullies, people who talk behind your back, you know, a bunch of nasty people. And then the Lord, you know, I didn't understand why the Lord began to show me it, you know, at first. You know, I didn't get it. I'm like, you know, these people are just a bunch of bullies. I'm like, Lord, you know, I don't, you know, I feel better working, you know, 100% for you than sitting here doing this job. I'm like, there got to be, I'm like, I would rather do that. I don't feel like doing this job. You know, I put my concentration and time and energy into that, you know. But another thing you begin to realize is that, just like Deb, you said, how you spoke your first testimony, how about the glory and not being embarrassed about who you are, you know, and letting that freely show, you know. And it's one of the same thing, you know, that the Lord showed to me. And I was just like, you know, it was like a revelation. I'm like, wait a minute, I can be a Christian? And it was just one of those, it was one of those things where I was just like, wait, I can be a Christian? No, I don't have to try to be a Christian. I can be a Christian? And it was just like this wonderful revelation. Like, yeah, you can be a Christian. And I wasn't, you know, and I'm just saying Satan has tactics, and he started bringing in that bullying thing, you know, where it started, tearing down it started wearing. I don't understand why he started using it or why it started popping up. And I was trying to look for the connection of why he was now using the bullying tactic. Maybe it's because something that the Lord wants me to do at the Salvation Army. I don't know. But man, Dad, step into that. You know, it is the most delightful place in the whole entire world to know that you can be a Christian and you don't need anyone's approval on that. You know, it's a wonderful place. And it's, I don't need anyone's approval about being a Christian. I don't need your approval. I don't need your acceptance. I don't need your clan. I don't need your opinion. I don't need your anything. You know, I can be a Christian without apology, without embarrassment, you know, and it reminded me of, Andrew, what you were saying, this guy, you know, how he was like, yeah, you just got to do this and do that. And, you know, you got to take a shower. And, you know, he wouldn't relent, you know, that's a bully. That's a bully. That's a spiritual bully. You know, he just wouldn't let me talk. I couldn't get one word in, you know, he was a nice guy, you know, but that was a bully. That's one of those spirits, you know, it talks like a nice guy, acts like a nice guy, you know, but it's doing everything to shut you up, you know, everything to push you up against the wall, you know, it won't let you off that wall when you try to walk away and just pushes you back up against the wall. Oh, what you gonna do? What you gonna do, Andrew? Blah, 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 blah. And you gotta read this 5-6 times. What you gonna, and you're like, oh God, I just want to get away from this. Bully. You know, oh God, you know, and it's such an evil tactic of Satan, because it's so subtle, it tears you down, and you end up walking away feeling like you defeated or you couldn't get a word in, and it's not true. It's just the evil one trying to bully you, you know. And that's all I got to say about that. But yeah, Deb, that's an awesome place to be entering into, you know. But that's all I got to say. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Well, that's true. Well, you get those in Christianity too, that religious spirit. Praise God. I like the way that Andrew handled it, though. He handled it like Jesus would have handled it, probably. Yeah, no. Patrick.
You know, when I got back home, sorry, Pat, oh, it's just a thing, you know. I was trying to figure out what was going on, and I sort of went back to the Pilgrim's Progress, and I said, well, it didn't sound like the Mr. Obstinate on the cartoon I watched, because he's got a deep voice. He was very polite with his ass. That was Mr. Obstinate. I just thought of that now when Willie was saying that. Anyway. So sometimes they can say it with a smile on their face and really, really nice and polite. There was no pushing or anything like that. So.
Okay, Patrick, go ahead. Thank you, Andrew.
Yeah, I was just going to say, when Willie was talking, it reminded me these things that the Lord always, you know, he'd bring into my life. Kind of as a stopper, you know, like, oh, I'm back to this again. What's going on here? But, and I think it was because I had a spirit of rejection for so long. And he'd always bring these things in there that would, you know, there was always that rejection feeling and always, you know, being offended and, you know, you potentially getting angry about something or whatever. But he always took me back to that. And I kind of clarified it here a few, probably within the last 6 months, of do I have the right to be offended? and then just grabbing all the scriptures related to that. What is being offended, and you know, what do I have the right to be offended? And that kind of takes you down a path of, you know, looking at offense and what it is, and that whole thing, and dealing with forgiveness and dealing with who's in charge in your life and all that sort of thing. And I guess that's what it kind of brought up to me when you were talking about that, Will. It kind of brought me back to a place where I realized through the scripture that I don't really have the right to be offended. And then, you know, how the Lord accomplishes that within us is kind of interesting by his grace, and, you know, walking through and understanding certain things. He really opened up my eyes to being able to rest in certain circumstances that he brings into my life. So anyway, praise the Lord.
Why don't you just go ahead and pray us out, Patrick? Do you mind?
Father, thank you for the blessing of this night and your presence in our life here, Lord. We thank you for being with us, walking us through these trials of our life, and giving us a victory through your grace and understanding how you take us through these things, Lord. And for some of us, it may just be logistics, or some of us, it's certainly your presence with us and beside us, taking us through these things. And Lord, you know how to speak to each and every heart. You created everyone, and you created us all for a particular purpose, to praise you and to enter into your life and express your life to the world around us. Lord, you've called us the salt of the earth. And we thank you for that, because you are bringing that within us, bringing that life of Christ out of us into our environment. We thank you for that, Lord. And we just praise you that we can look forward even soon to a fresh anointing of your spirit, of your presence, and that all these prayers that we have been uttering up to you, Lord, that you will fulfill them and are fulfilling them within us by preparing our hearts, preparing us to walk in your ways, in the fullness of your power and in the fullness of your spirit. So we thank you, Father. Thank you. We just bless each and every one of us, as Michael says, with a good night's sleep, and just to preserve us and prepare us for the day ahead and the night ahead. And Lord, we thank you for your grace in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thursday, y'all see the chat? Thursday. Let's look at the fear of the Lord. What does this mean, and what are the benefits of it? And the example given was Proverbs 3, verses 7 and 8. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It will be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bone. And there's lots of verses relating to this. So let's take a look at it and come in Thursday night with all the knowledge that God gives you. On the fear of the Lord, in Jesus' name. All right. Okay, y'all be blessed, you hear?